All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of the Psalms, and specifically Psalm 33. Psalm 33. I'd like to preach for about 20 minutes. I've never done that, but I'd like to before I die. Just making sure you're awake. That's an hour and 33 minutes, yes. All right, let's look, please, at verse 1, and I'm going to read down to verse 6. And verse 6 is going to be the verse where I take my message from this morning. All right, so looking at verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps, or with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word, all right, pay attention here now, for the word of the Lord is right. Amen. Amen. And all his works are done in truth. All right, so all his, what now? Works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. All right, let me read that once more, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. I want to speak to you this morning a message that I'm going to entitle, By the Word of the Lord. By the Word of the Lord. Let's pray together, and we'll ask the Lord to bless the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the music we have heard this morning and how it stirs our souls. We thank you for the promise that our Savior is coming again. And I pray you'll bless that to our hearts today. We don't know exactly when our Savior is coming, but we know that he's coming according to the Word of God. And Father, I ask you now to bless as we think about this sixth verse, and I pray that you will give us understanding of what we're about to hear, and may the Word of God make a real difference in our hearts today. There may be someone in this room who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, and Father, I pray if that's the case that you will speak to that heart and help that one to realize their need of the Lord Jesus before it's too late. So, Father, bless. Now, I need your help as I speak, and be with our folks as they listen. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the matter of creation. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, that's about as clear as you're ever going to hear creation explained. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, that is the way that the Bible begins. That's how the Bible begins, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And let me tell you something, folks. This is not something this is something that you and I have to accept by faith. All right? Now, the reason we do is because none of us were there when this happened. All right? I wasn't there. You weren't there. John? No. John wasn't there. All right? You see the point? None of us were there. calm down. I was just joking. All right. So none of us were there. We cannot verify that this happened. I mean, there's not someone that's going to walk up and say, oh, yeah, by the way, that first verse in Genesis, I was there, and God created the heaven and the earth. No, that's not how things work. We have to accept that premise by faith. And you see, God tells us over and over that the just shall live by faith. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we must accept by faith that God created the world and also this massive universe that we can look up in the night sky and see. And since none of us were there, we simply have to believe this by faith that God created the heaven and the earth. Psalm 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Here's another real important verse in Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Now, listen carefully to this one. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." You see, the Bible tells us, "And God said." And God said. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. Don't do it right now. But you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you will see over and over and over, the Bible will say, "And God said." And God said. You see, the world, the universe, was created by the word of God. God spoke, and the world was created. Now, if you want a logical and sensible explanation of creation, you need look no further than the word of God. Just look to the Bible, and the Bible will explain to you where all of us came from, where the world came from, where the universe came from, and we all must accept that by faith. Now, it is so much easier for us to believe that it is much easier for us to believe that an omnipotent, that means all-powerful, an omniscient, which means all-knowing, and an omnipresent, which means he's everywhere all at the same time, and an immutable, which means that God is unchanging. So it is so much easier for us to believe that a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable God spoke the universe into existence than it is to believe that there was this big bang that happened billions of years ago where everything just exploded into a gazillion pieces, and then over millions and billions and millions and billions of years, eventually everything evolved into this world and this universe that all of us know today. Now, folks, listen, if you believe that way, you got more faith than you realize. Because the odds of that happening are absolutely phenomenal. There is no statistical way that could happen. None. I have illustrated this to you so many times through the years, but I am holding in my hand this watch that you folks gave me several years back. And It is an amazing timepiece. I'll tell you that. Now, if I were to take this watch completely apart, all right, I've got it completely apart, and I take all the pieces of this watch, the stem, the crystal, all these little numbers and all these little marks and the second hand and the hour hand and the minute hand and all this stuff down here at the bottom, which tells me what day it is, like I don't know that. And then this little thing right over here that tells me what the date is. All right, so I take all of this apart, every little cog that's inside, every little pin, every little everything, and I stack it all up right here so that right here are the ingredients of this watch. Now, suppose that I then get a coffee can and I scrape all of that into the coffee can, and then I get my pen out and I start stirring the coffee can. All right, question. How many kabillions of years am I going to have to stand here and spin the ingredients of that watch around in that coffee can until eventually, poof, this pops out in perfect working order? Never going to happen. You're exactly right, my friend. That's never going to happen. And I want to serve notice on you that this earth and your body and your mind and your soul and this universe is 10,000 times 10,000 times more complicated than is this watch. And you mean to tell me that you think that we just evolved over millions of years? Oh, my soul. You need to reevaluate what you believe about creation. Here's something simple for you. God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. That's pretty simple to me. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, that's pretty logical if you want my opinion. So you say, well, Pastor, I wonder where you stand. Well, I'm not an evolutionist. Never have been and never will be. I remember the first time I heard that foolishness, I laughed. I couldn't believe. And I remember hearing that and just thinking to myself, wow, somebody got a hold of your head. If you believe that, somebody's messed with you. Yeah. Make no mistake, folks, evolution is the biggest lie and deception that Satan ever pawned off on an unsuspecting society. And it takes more faith to believe that billions of years ago, there was this big bang that just flung everything into space than it is to believe that God Almighty spoke and created the entire universe by the word of his power. So don't fall for that foolishness. How's that little adage go? Once it was a tadpole, long and thin, and then it was a frog with my tail tucked in. Wait for it. And then I was a monkey hanging from a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, my dad was he worked for American Electric Power. His job was he and his crew he He was the supervisor of this crew, and they installed switch yards in these big old power plants. You see, go down along the major rivers, the Mississippi, the Ohio, and you'll see these great big cooling towers, four or five of them. Well, my dad put all those breakers in those switch yards, all right? That was his responsibility. That was his job. And for several years, he was working down along the Ohio River, and they were putting in one of these great big plants. It's one of the biggest. At the time, it was the biggest in America. And so they would leave on Monday morning and then work 10-hour days and come home on Thursday evening. And they always stayed in Ohio for some reason. I don't know why, but they did, even though the plant was in Kentucky. And I don't know, maybe they didn't have hotels in Kentucky yet. I don't know. What do you think, Rick? But anyway, he would stop on his way home regularly, often, at one of these fireworks places. Now, fireworks were illegal in West Virginia, all right? So he would stop in Ohio and get these fireworks, and he would come home, and he'd have a box about that big full of M-80s. M-80s, you know? Getting close. You put three of those together, and you could just about blow up anything, all right? And I know from experience, all right? Yes, I know from experience, and that's all I'm going to tell you. But anyway, he would bring all these fireworks home. Now, we would get those, my brother and a couple neighbor kids and me, and we would misuse those things. I'm just going to say it that way, all right? And you know one thing I found out? I found out that once you blow something up, it just is chaotic, all right? It's never the same, all right? Something doesn't blow up, and then when it all comes back down, it's a beautiful house, all right? It doesn't blow up, and then all the pieces fall to the ground and it becomes a Harley Davidson motorcycle. All right? No. Whatever you blow up, you've destroyed it. It's useless. All right? It's useless. And yet, these evolutionists want to tell us that there was this great big explosion, and everything blew up. They call it the Big Bang. Boy, that's original, isn't it? Huh? Think about it. Isn't that original? The Big Bang. Oh, my soul. How many of you were born at night? Huh? I was born at night, but I sure wasn't born last night. No, when God created the heaven and the earth, it was all with order. Amen. It was all with order. All right, the earth is on its course. There are 24 hours in a day, four seasons every year. The sun comes up in the east and it sets in the west. They can put a chart together that 3 or 5 years from now, they can tell you when it's going to be high tide down at the Inner Harbor. Isn't that something? You know why? Because when God created the world, He did so with design, Amen. With order, right. Not chaos. We didn't come from a Big Bang. Folks, you read the Bible, the Big Bang's at the end, not at the beginning. That's right. Got it all backwards, don't we? So what do we have? Well, we have God speaking. So the world's explanation of creation, in my mind, does not make sense and is nothing but a bunch of imaginations of the ungodly designed to explain away God. You see, they don't believe in God, so they had to come up with some reason for why we're all here. Well, I'm just going to stick with the Bible reason why we're all here. And I'm going to work off of that premise, if you don't mind. All right, now look at my text verse. That was my introduction. I didn't mean for it to be that long, but that was it. All right, notice with me, first of all, the matter of creation. The first part of verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By the word of the Lord. Now, folks, notice that the Bible does not skirt around the issue of creation. Instead, the Bible speaks often about how God created this universe that we live in. God created the universe and everything that's in it. And in many different places in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the Bible explains all of it to us. I mean, just because you did not see it happen doesn't mean that it didn't happen. You know, a child can look up in the sky and see an airplane and point at it and say, "What's that, Mommy?" And Mom says, "Well, honey, that's an airplane." Well, what's it doing? Well, it's flying across the sky. Well, its wings aren't flapping, Mom. How's it flying? Oh, well, it's got two motors on the wings. And you see the steam coming out of those motors. Yeah, well, that's the motor propelling the plane through the air. And so that little child sits there, looks up in the sky, and says, Mama, I don't understand. I mean, is that just flying itself? No, honey, there's a pilot that's flying that plane. That guy knows exactly where he's going. Well, how do you know, Mom? I can't see him. And Mom looks at the child and says, now, honey, think for just a moment. Do you think that a big old airplane is going to just take off down the runway by itself? Well, no, that's right. It's not going to just take off by itself. Somebody has to pilot that plane. Oh, well, yeah, Mom, I guess that's right. Now, just because you can't see the pilot doesn't mean the pilot is not in that airplane. I know the day's coming when, and I hope I'm in heaven when it does, but I know the day is coming when planes will fly themselves. They'll take off and they'll land. That day's coming. I'm not getting on that airplane, but that day's coming. All right? Now, you say, where's your faith? My faith is in a pilot, not in a computer. Thank you very much. Yeah, computers can go wrong. Of course, humans can go wrong too. But anyway, Mom says, honey, you just have to use your common sense. That big old cylinder up in the sky there did not just materialize out of thin air. No, somebody made it, somebody created it, somebody designed it, and that cylinder is, the wings are filled with jet fuel, and underneath it is a motor that runs on that jet fuel, an engine, and a trained pilot puts his or herself inside the controls of that cockpit, and he or she goes down the runway, and now there he goes across the sky. You see, design intimates a creator. Hello? Isn't that right? I mean, you're not going to sit there and look up at that plane and go, well, I declare. No. You know somebody made that. You know somebody's running that thing. All right? And the Word of God explains to us all about this matter of creation. The Word of God explains everything about what we need to know about our world and about ourselves. You want to know why we are like we are? Read God's Word. You say, well, you know, you might look at your at your neighbor, might look at your child, and you say, why are you like you are? Well, there's a reason. And the bottom line is, for all this sin, they come short of the glory of God. That's why we're all like we are. We're sinners. But you see, men do not like what the Bible has to say about us. And this is why people do not want to believe what the Bible says. If men believed God created everything, then they would have to be accountable to that God. And men don't want to be accountable to God. So they invent a system where they can excuse God away. And that is exactly what evolution is, folks. Don't ever forget that. So they conceive man to be just another animal. No. The product of evolution. No. We are created in the image of God. Amen. And therefore, we are accountable to God Almighty. Second thing I want you to notice the method of creation. We are told here by the Word of God, by the breath of His mouth. You see, creation occurred when God spoke everything into existence. This shows us the tremendous power of the Word of God. The world's imaginations on everything are just so, they're preposterous. I mean, really, when you think about it. A few years ago, I was preaching for a pastor up in Pennsylvania, and he told me when he was in the fifth grade, that his science teacher told him that the earth was made when two stars collided together and then a chip broke off because one star was a little bit bigger than the other star and a chip of it flew off, and that's what created the Milky Way, and the earth spun out of that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I laughed and I said, yeah, that sounds about par. Yeah, that sounds about right. And then he laughed and said, I asked her, where did two stars come from? Hello? That's a good question, isn't it? From a fifth grader. I looked at him, I said, bro, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Truth is, folks, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in a sovereign God. Here's a little thought for you. Life comes from life. Now think about that. Let that bounce around in there a little bit. Isn't that true? Life comes from life. And the original life must have come from a being that possessed eternal life. That is, life that existed before physical life was created. And that's our God. That's our God. That's where God comes in. Where can such a life be found? Well, it is only found in the eternal God of the Bible. In Psalm 36 in verse 9, David said, For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Man, what a powerful verse that is. You see, this law of life is a law that cannot be broken. You know, a peach tree gets its life from the seed of another peach tree. A little lamb gets its life from its mother. And every living thing in the universe goes back to the original creation when God made all things. Then thirdly, notice the master of creation. All right, let's go back to the verse here. Now look carefully at this. All right, now watch. In verse 6, by the word of the who? You notice that's capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. And if you have been paying attention when I've preached to you, you know that that is Jehovah God. That's Jehovah God, the God of the Bible, the God of heaven, the Redeemer. That's God the Redeemer. That's God who provided salvation for his creation. All right? We find the master of creation in that one word, Lord. This one word is the problem that causes so many creation narratives. But simply put, people do not want God involved. Even our courts have tried their best to legislate God out of society. I remember when we lived out in Illinois, in Joliet, Illinois, just prior to coming here, there was a huge case out there where some high school kids were praying over the loudspeaker before football games. And then when they moved inside for basketball in the winter, they prayed over the PA system in the gymnasium. And then when they went into the spring sports, no matter what sport it was, these kids would gather together around one another and get on their knees and pray, and someone would lead them over a PA system. Well, the atheist, you know, I hate God crowd decided that they were going to sue the school system. So they did. They did. And some old wicked-hearted judge, you know, some wicked-hearted judge, boy, there's a lot of that. And that judge said, oh, sorry, you cannot pray. Sorry, you kids cannot pray before a game. So what these kids did was they went to the end zone and they got on their knees and started praying. And principals did not want to deal with it, so they just let them do it that way. All right, but this judge said, oh no, you cannot pray in school. Can't do it. Can't do it. I was in the third grade when Miss Melton said to us on the first day of school, we're not allowed to read the Bible and pray anymore. Third grade. I was in the third grade. He said, man, you're old. I know. Thanks. Thanks for your encouragement. And she said, we can't pray anymore. So here's this judge, you know, he comes along in the state of Illinois, and he says, you cannot pray. And then about a month later or so, we went to war in Iraq. All right, President George H.W. went on television the night that the war started when they advanced across the border of Kuwait and started marching into Iraq. And President came on and said, "I want America to pray for our troops." And I remember sitting there watching that. It was a Wednesday evening. And I remember sitting there watching that, eating supper, getting ready to go to church. And I thought to myself, okay, now wait a minute. A judge says that we can't pray. And now the president is saying, pray. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? What God says. You know, this judge, there's a judge higher than that judge. And he might sit down and write out his little law and stamp it with his approval, but God stamped his approval on this book long before any judge came around. Amen. So then lastly, number four, I got to hurry. I want you to notice the magnificence of creation. David said here, all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. All the host of them. So what is David revealing about the magnificence of creation? Well, to speak and form words, it is only possible to accomplish this when you open your mouth to actually speak. And that's what God did. And man, did he make a beautiful world. Beautiful world. I don't know if you've ever gotten on YouTube and looked up Hubble pictures, the pictures that the Hubble has taken, or the pictures that this other one has taken, this other satellite thing they got up, telescope, where they take pictures of the universe. You ever look at some of that? You ought to. You just see how magnificent is creation. And I sit there and I look at that and I read down to bottom and it says this is 2.4 light years away. A million light years away, and I thought, good grief, that's a long way out there. But you see, there was a day when God created that, and God said, one of these days, I'm going to give man the wisdom to make a telescope, and they'll launch it off the end of a rocket, and it'll get in orbit, and then we can turn it where we want to turn it, and we can take pictures, and then flash them back down to the earth so people can see how wonderful my creation is. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And in the second part of the verse, all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. You see, folks, when David looked and saw the heavens at night, David stood in awe. He stood in awe of everything that God made. All the stars, all the planets, all the galaxies, everything is the result of his creation. The magnificent creation has been made by our magnificent God. Let me have you turn to one verse over in the New Testament, and that's found in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Please turn over there. Let me read to you what Paul said about this. The book of Romans in the New Testament. All right, look at verse 17 of chapter 1. He said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." All right, as it is written, that's written in Habakkuk in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse verse 4. That's written in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, I think. And then it is written in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. The just shall live by faith. Look at the next verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, or who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Well, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Oh, yeah? Well, how? Well, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Huh? Do you hear that? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, men, are without excuse. That's amazing. That's amazing. And so basically, what that means is, you and I can look up into the heavens at night. We can watch the stars at night. We can watch the clouds roll in with a thunderstorm. We can sit on a ridge over here and see a storm way over there and see the lightning and see the rain coming down and just be in awe of what God has made. And therefore, we are without excuse. We could look up and say, whoa, something bigger than this, something bigger than me created this. Oh, yeah, something way bigger than you. Matter of fact, the same thing that created that, same thing that created you. The magnificent creation has been made by our magnificent God. So, folks, where did we come from? The Word of God. Do you see the importance of the Word of God now? All right, let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your eternal Word, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts today. Give us understanding. Give us a heart to understand what thus saith the Lord. And Father, there are so many verses that tell us that the Word of God is where we all came from. You spoke and everything was made. Now I pray, Father, that you will bless this to our hearts today. And if there is someone here in this room who is not 100% sure that they're going to heaven when they die, I pray that today will be the day they get this issue settled. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please. No one looking around. I wonder how many of you here this morning will say, Pastor, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm saved and I know there's no doubt about it. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I have no qualms about it. I'm going to heaven. I know it. Would you lift your hand and testify that you know Christ as your Savior? Say, Preacher, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. Absolutely, I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, that looked like everybody. I could have missed someone. So let me ask this. A lot of people here. So let me ask this. Anybody say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand with everybody else, but I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. And listen, I won't embarrass you. I promise nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I will pray for you. I promise you that. So could you lift your hand right now and say, Pastor, Pray for me. Yes, thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm just not 100% sure, but I know I need to be saved from my sin. How about upstairs? Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. All right. All right. Father in heaven, thank you now for your eternal word. And I pray you'll bless this. I pray you'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And Father, I pray for this one who said with a raised hand that I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be. And Lord, I pray that today will be the day where this person realizes their need for your Son, the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, give this one courage to step out and come and let someone take a Bible and show them how they can know for sure, beyond any shadow of doubt, that they're on their way to heaven to spend eternity with you. So bless your word now, Father, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.